Live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Make sure you take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. Just go to the iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. Well, it's Good Friday. Easter's on Sunday. We're halfway through Passover, so this weekend is probably going to be full of great food for a lot of you. We have some great guests on the show today to help you make the most of your weekend meals, whether it's a holiday or not. So, let's do brunch. Chef Brian Ahlberg is executive chef at the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, which serves a very famous Easter brunch every year. Chef Ahlberg is a staunch supporter of the local food movement in the Berkshires and the Hudson Valley and co-founder of Berkshire Farm and Table, a Culinary Institute grad. He has been at the Red Lion since 2004. Dale Miller, no stranger to this program, is a renowned chef here in the Capital Region, one of 68 certified master chefs in the entire U.S. He started his own baking and catering business at the tender age of 12 and has been going ever since. He has been at the helm of some of the region's most recognized restaurants, including Jack's Oyster House, Sperry's Restaurant, and his eponymous Dale Miller, The Art of Dining. Well, Chef Brian, Chef Dale, welcome to Food Friday. Great to have you guys here.
Great to be here.
Great to be here, Ray. Thanks for having us.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. Put a 1 in front of that, 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us online via the social media, if you're a social media kind of person. Facebook page, that's a good way. It's facebook.com/WAMC radio. You could comment at the bottom of today's Vox Pop show page, WAMC.org/Vox Pop. You could tweet us as well. And that's at WAMC Vox Pop. Email as well, voxpop@wamc.org, or call us. That's the best way to do a call-in show, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So before we started the show, Dale handed me a nicely printed menu. It says Easter fare at the top, and it has starters. It's a long menu. It has dinner and dessert, and it looks delicious. I said, well, what restaurant is this from? He said, no, this is for my house. How are you going to cook this many things? And I would say you have 8-9 main courses here, plus appetizers and 4 desserts. How you do that?
Well,
and
Ray,
why?
Ray, I am a chef. Okay.
Okay. So, well, no, I know so that you know how to cook the items, but this is a lot for an Easter brunch for the family.
Well, this is going to be a walk in the park because it's only about 30 some people plus 10 kids.
And, yeah.
And normally we're cooking for 300-500 people at a time on Easter. For brunch and Easter Sunday.
And I assume your home kitchen is pretty well decked up.
Yeah. We have a nice setup with the. I designed and
run so us through some.
We have arancini with lemon pepper aioli. We're going to have spinach artichoke and parmesan tarts, Tuscan style antipasto, a baked brie with peach and raspberry preserves.
Oh boy!
Maple Leaf Farms duck bacon and caramelized onion flatbread. I'm going to do a whole roast turkey, porchetta style, which porchetta is normally made with pork, but this is going to be laid out, and then I'm going to be it's rolled with spring herbs and garlic and olive oil and roasted, and that's going to be with a Marsala pan sauce, baby greens. I'm also going to do a Smithfield ham with brown sugar and soy glaze, and then with a black cherry sauce. So, and then a lot of sides with. Roasted truffle mashed potatoes, roasted garlic, glazed carrots, and so on.
So are you planning for all your guests not to be able to move at the end of this?
Pretty much, but we have some pretty good eaters that come in. So
well, that's good.
Even the kids love, and of course I'm going to have some stuff for the kids as well. So
the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Our guest today, Chef Brian Ahlberg of the Red Lion, and Dale Miller is here, and he just told us about his home Easter Fest. And Brian, it's a big weekend for you at the Red Lion, right?
Yeah, it is. But actually, I think I'm going to let my guys know I'm not going to come in. I'm going to go to Dale's house.
I think that's a good plan. And I think I'm going as well.
Ray, come I'll on. Even lend a hand, but the food sounds great.
That'll be great.
So what do you have in store at the Red Lion?
Yeah, we do an a la carte brunch, which gives guests the flexibility of ordering from 5 apps, 5 entrees, and we do it 5 courses. So some of them are the same for everybody. And we do about 300 for brunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I should tell you guys that we had a very well-meaning call before the show, actually early this morning. Lady called our producer, Jessica Blaustein, and said, tell Ray, he shouldn't mention meat because it's Good Friday. But I can mention it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why.
Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. She didn't want me to get in trouble. She was looking out for my best interest.
Right.
But
yes.
I don't see any way around it here. There's maybe not today for some, but there's a lot of meat to be had this weekend. So if I, Mr. Very Limited Ability in the Kitchen, and I mean limited ability, had to entertain my family and I had to pull together a brunch that was easy, what's the best way I could do that?
A roast.
What kind of roast?
Lamb.
Roast lamb?
Yeah, I would say lamb. I mean, lamb is of the season. The spring lambs are out soon.
Can't you screw that up fairly easily and make it tough?
You can screw anything up, but as long as you take time and care and, you know, cook with love, I think it'll be great.
Well, Ray, it's, you know, everybody's going to have a different scenario in their home because of space constraints or equipment or, you know, whatever.
Talent. It's don't forget the talent.
Talent as well. But, you know, the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid type of thing is the best way to go. And just do some simple things, maybe four or five items, not as obviously as extensive as I'm going to do, but you know, just, you know, some nice fresh fruits. I actually put two recipes online, or they were going to put two recipes online. One was a baked French toast, which is a take on the pain perdu from France, and which means forgotten bread. And that can be done the night before and then simply put in the oven the next day and bake the next day. And then you cut it into pieces with warm maple syrup, and you don't have any preparation that day.
And you mentioned to me that when you showed me this list, which really floored me, you've been preparing since Monday.
Right. And you do it in stages. I shop in stages, so, you know, and get the things that, you know, butter, eggs, milk, cream, sugar, whatever, your staples, and some of the things that are not going to, you know, perish by Sunday.
Mm.
So, and you start peeling carrots and getting your mise en place together.
Nice.
So, yep.
And Chef Ahlberg, you've done now a Passover brunch as well?
Yes, we offered Passover on Monday and Tuesday this past week. You know,
how'd that go?
Brisket. It was good. It was the first time we had done it, and it was received really well.
Good. Let's go to the phones at 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to is that Thor? Or I can't quite read that. Who's this?
My name's Ihor.
Oh, Ihor. Hi, how are you? You're on the line now with Chef Ahlberg and Chef Miller.
That's great. I just happened to chance on your station today, and the topic was like right up my alley. I'm opening a restaurant in the next couple of months. And my question, which actually is a question, it seems to me like the farm-to-table, the local thing, is at least in Ulster County area, seems to be kind of saturated.
What do you mean saturated?
Well, there's a lot of them. You know,
Isn't that a good thing?
Some of them in Sullivan County. Say again?
Isn't that a good thing, though, more choices?
Oh, sure, but I'm. My question is about like what they might have an idea for the next big thing. We're going to concentrate on seasonally fresh produce from around the world that's grown on fair trade, you know, by farmers, small farmers, and kind of supporting because it's a. I look at it as a big community, and local is Peru as well as, you know, 2 miles down the road in a sense. So I'm at the beginning of a flood of interest, but again, I wanted to know their take on what they might think is the next different, you know, like new thing.
Okay.
Well, for me, farm to table isn't a new thing, and it's not an old thing. It's what I grew up with, and it's something that I practice. I think the reason why you see so many people in restaurants now, you know, talking about farm to table is just because it's become such a huge buzzword, marketing word, marketing term. You know, I think your idea about, you know, fair trade and stuff is great. But to me, I wouldn't look at it as farm to table going away and a new fad coming on. I think, you know, it's going to be consistently around.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for the call. Go ahead, Dan.
And I think setting yourself apart from other farm to table restaurants is going to help. Right. One of the big things now is, nose to tail, utilizing every bit of a fish or whatever or animal that you have that you're using in your restaurant, root to stem and utilizing everything from the celery leaves to all your trimmings, whatever the case may be, and making something else out of that.
Is that an economic decision just for the bottom line, or is that a philosophical decision?
Well, I think for some people it's philosophical, but I mean, you know, food waste is one of the biggest problems in this world, and it's actually... In talking with Chef Brian before we went on, we have a very closely mirrored upbringing. And my mother was from a Polish background, and nothing went to waste. Everything was utilized, there was nothing that was thrown away. I mean, if bread went stale, you didn't throw it in the garbage. You ground it up and made breadcrumbs or made bread pudding or whatever out of it.
Exactly.
You know, so.
And the cool thing too, I think, Dale, is that the whole plant, the whole animal, they all have different, you know, tastes, textures. Mm-hmm. And it not only pays respect to that, mm-hmm. but it also gives you so much more versatility.
Right.
You know, I was doing beets yesterday mm-hmm. to prep for Sunday, and the greens are being chopped and braised for the stuffing in the lamb. Mm. So, you know, it's being conscious and using the product.
Absolutely.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We will take a short break, and then back to the phones we will go. Chef Brian Ahlberg and Chef Dale Miller, and you, we were doing brunch.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms providing fresh, local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors. HudsonValleyFresh.com. Sundog Cider at Sulaqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. Sundogcider.com. Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. And Woodstock School of Art, offering classes and workshops year-round in climate-controlled studios. Summer art adventure for kids 7 to 12 during July and August. Family Day Open House, April 27th from 2 to 4. WoodstockSchoolOfArt.org.
One 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. This is Vox Pop, and it is a Food Friday. And usually, when Food Fridays roll around, they bring food. And boy, did they bring food again! Chef Ahlberg and Chef Miller are here. And what have we here? What is it?
It's a braised Lila's lamb, which is from Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's braised with porcini mushrooms, locally raised kale, and a Bailey Hazen blue cheese risotto.
Mm. And
I'm sorry, it's not fish.
Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, is here. And you want to be a taster?
Of course. But I should mention that this recipe for Lila's lamb, braised lamb, is on our website at WAMC.org.
Splendid. Splendid. Here we go. And this is really what it's all about. She's a tough customer.
I'm not a tough customer.
No?
But this is delicious.
It is delicious. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Chef Miller, you had a chance to try this?
Yes, and it's not delicious. It's outstanding.
It's outstanding.
It's really outstanding. So it's, I didn't have lunch today, so it was perfect.
Why don't you put that on your menu for Sunday?
I could.
I'll bring it when I come over.
Chef Brian's going to come over.
You know, I think a lot of people want to come over. Let's go over to Sam in Guilderland. Sam, you're on.
Yeah, I want to come over. I just finished wiping the drool off my phone here. Two questions. Ceviche, I'm going to keep this short. What's a good way to get started? Is there a certain pH to start off with? I want to keep calamari from getting tough.
All right, what is ceviche?
Ceviche, I'm finished.
Okay. What is it?
Ceviche is seafood that's been cooked from acid, like lime juice or...
Oh, really?
Rather than temperature.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's delicious.
Yep.
So it's cooked without heat?
Correct.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. It's cooked with...
It's kind of like... The acids react with the proteins and,
Correct.
Okay, so your question was... I'm sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
Well, how to get a good start with that? Is there a certain pH that I could measure? I'm an engineer, so I'm mainly the tenor on cooking. And experimenting, but I'm looking for a good way to get started and keep from having the calamari get tough. My second question is sweetbreads. Which type is preferred, the thymus, whatever, and where can you get them? I ate them twice, once after a couple of beers the first time. I said, oh, my God, they're delicious.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try them sober, and they tasted even better.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of sweetbreads, and I use the thymus gland. There's a purveyor called Edelweiss Veal in the area that I would reach out to them.
Okay. Edelweiss Veal?
Veal, correct. Yes.
Okay.
All right, now getting back to the question, did we answer the question about getting started?
Ceviche, you said you don't really do it.
Yeah, I don't really do ceviche. I do something called crudo, which is very light acid, and it doesn't actually cook the fish. You start out with a really good quality fish like fluke or scallops, and you'd use it's an Italian style of doing it, but you use a really light acid. I have eaten ceviche. It was big back when I was in college in the 90s. Or 80s actually, but into the 90s. But I honestly couldn't tell you a pH.
Dale?
Yeah, I just start with very fresh seafood, everything extremely fresh, whether it be scallops, tuna, shrimp, and make sure it's cut in smaller pieces, in even sized pieces, so that if you are mixing seafoods and fish, that they cook at the same rate in the acid. Mm-hmm. But
do they really cook?
I'm paranoid about raw shellfish, the acid does cook.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, fresh herbs, everything super fresh. And I don't really have a recipe. I kind of just do it by feel.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
it's tough. So, yeah.
We're not engineers.
Yeah.
No.
So, thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
Thanks, sorry.
I appreciate the call. Wow, that's something I never knew. Let's go to, and there are many things that I never knew. Paula in Gilderland. Paula, you're up.
Hi. I already bought a ham for Sunday, and I read an article advising the cook what type of ham, and they said not a spiral sliced. You should, slice your own. Not pre-glazed. It's like wearing yesterday's leftovers if you have someone else pre-glaze it. And definitely you want a bone. Now, as I looked at the ads in the local papers, a lot of them were semi-boneless. Mm-hmm. And my question is semi-boneless what they call bone-in? Or is there semi-boneless means that some of the bone is gone and you just have a little bone?
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Dan.
No, go ahead.
I think that some of it is marketing, and I think it's probably different based on brand, but typically a bone-in ham would have the whole bone in it, and flavor-wise, you definitely want a bone-in. Shrinkage-wise, you want the bone-in. For slicing, it becomes a little bit of an issue.
Why does it make it better flavor?
Well, because the bone has attributes when you cook it, A semi-boneless ham is usually the shank bone, is still left in it, so that the base of the ham itself is sliceable. So I think it's the good compromise.
Okay.
And I think the ham is, or cut, if it's cut into smaller smaller weights, you're not getting that full bone on it. And probably if you would go to maybe like Smithfield, like online, to buy the ham and have it shipped to your house,
correct,
you're probably going to find something better online than as opposed to going to a market.
Okay.
Okay. So would you recommend a half ham or a whole ham?
Well,
like a shank half or butt half, or
depends on if you're going to Dale's house.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be how many people depending on how many people you have and all that. But I think
say for 10 people, they say that the butt half has more flavor.
Right.
That's what I read. So. And this article suggested getting a half ham, get the butt half.
Yes,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so the butt half will have a smaller bone than the shank half, I guess is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. It's still okay.
Yes,
yeah, it's
yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Good luck. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're joined by Chef Brian Ahlberg and Chef Dale Miller today, and we talk holiday brunches. Tim in Gilderland. Tim, you're up.
Yeah, you've been talking about how a lot of chefs or a lot of cultures use every part of the animal. And I realized that when I lived in France for a while, and the first meal I had was tripe. And I'd never had it before, never heard about it. I mean, it was sautéed, and it was really good. And then I gradually realized that the French would try to use every part of the animal. Mm-hmm. And you said from head to tail,
right.
From the cheeks or the jowls mm-hmm. to the oxtail, and mm-hmm. use every part of the animal. And it comes from the need to be economical about this. If, you know,
yeah, but it's funny, you're mentioning my favorite parts of the animals. Right. I mean, I love tripe, oxtail, nothing beats it. Veal cheeks are awesome.
And you haven't lived until you've had pig's ears.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, I guess we're talking about meat after all on
right.
the program today.
Yeah, and I was struck by it, and I think it's true in Asia. I think they try and use every part of the animal as well. And we just... I don't think it's generally true, but I think we tend to discard parts that aren't fashionable or...
I think that's definitely true, but I think that's part of what we're trying to change, you know, by making people mm-hmm. aware of it and using whole animals on our menus. So it's, you know, it's building awareness. So hopefully that'll change.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're...
You have to change taste, though. I mean, a lot of people would be, I think, scared to try something like that. You would have to say, look, I'm a professional. Please
no, that's
give it
true.
A shot.
You definitely have to earn mm-hmm. earn your diner's trust before you can mm-hmm. start throwing tripe at them.
Absolutely.
First of all, you shouldn't throw it at them.
Well, that is true.
That's a good plan.
But I got a quick question for you, and I'll let you go. How do you make broccoli taste good?
I like broccoli.
So do my kids. That's
butter.
One thing they love.
Butter and salt.
Sauce.
Steam.
Yeah.
Steam it, butter, salt, or you know, even olive oil and garlic.
Yeah. And grill it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Grill it?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
Lemon juice, olive oil, black pepper, and throw it on the grill?
You are kidding me.
I wouldn't kid you.
All right, we got to discuss this. Tim, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. So, all right, throw it right on the grill or put it in foil or what do you do?
Throw it right on the grill. Get the char on it.
You're kidding me.
No.
All right, man. I'm going to try that. I'm actually going to try that this, well, maybe not this weekend, but next weekend. So you put olive oil and what?
Just salt and pepper. I mean, just simple. Again,
and just put it on.
Put it on the grill.
Yeah.
For how long? Low heat, high heat. Come on, help me out here.
Well, till it's done, till it's tender. So you know you want to cut it into larger,
brilliant
pieces. Yeah.
See now again, this is great. This is, I know you're helping the listeners, but you're helping me too. So. And my kids are not a tough sell on broccoli. That is one that they actually like. I was never a big fan myself. But the kids today, you know, 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. And a reminder that you can download our new app. It's brand new. It's a great mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. You just go to the iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. It's pretty darn good. Let's go to Sarah in Great Barrington. Hiya, Sarah.
Hi.
You're up. You're on.
Yeah, I have a strong European background, and I just wanted to mention that some of your callers have been mentioning that the reason that people would use the whole pig or the whole cow or the whole animal was economic, but really it was more about not having much and having to use every single bit of it. During the war and people with small farms and small holdings that didn't have a lot of food coming in, they used every bit of it because they needed to.
Right. But that does go back to economics and also utilization.
Yeah.
I mean, I know my mother was Polish, and so... you know, the whole animal was used, even the pig's ears, and then the head was made head cheese with the pig's head and all that. And what I'm saying is now, because of, you know, the whole culture of food, you know, people being so sensitive to food waste, we're going back to the old ways again.
Right.
So
thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I've always practiced that because I grew up like that. So I grew up utilizing everything, you know, every part of the vegetable, the animal, whatever we were cooking. So,
well, as Americans, we've experienced such an abundance of everything. We never lack. We never have, you know, we're never able to not get something.
Sure.
And people are so squeamish about eating intestines or, you know, bollocks. It's silly.
Absolutely.
It's edible. Eat it.
It is.
Sarah, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. Oxtail soup, that's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either of you guys ever serve that at your establishments?
Yes, I have, yeah.
One way.
Turtle soup as well.
Turtle soup I've never had. Yep. All right, let's go to, is it Rick? Rick in Bristol, Connecticut. Rick, you're on.
Hey, I just overheard one of the comments about how do you make broccoli taste good, and I had to laugh at that. All growing up, it was always boiled. Over the years, you know, it all tasted the same. And decided, let's throw it on the grill. That's the only way it should be made is on the grill.
Okay.
Asparagus, Brussels sprouts, same thing.
Do it all.
Everything goes on that grill.
Yep.
And if it's wintertime, you can get the same, pretty much the same effect by throwing it on a cookie sheet. Same thing, olive oil, some garlic, or just bake it for a little while.
I'm getting some nods from the chefs, so I believe you're onto something there, Rick.
Yep. I kind of agree.
That's how to do it.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
Bye.
All right, give me a good asparagus recipe while we're here in between calls. 1-800-348-2551. Something simple.
Gribiche.
What's that?
Gribiche is a sauce that you put over asparagus. It's chopped egg, capers.
Parsley.
Yeah.
It's a mayonnaise base. Yeah.
Well, you know, in my house, I think my wife just puts oil on it and broil it. And it comes out very crispy and very good.
Right.
So... What's the name of the sauce?
So you didn't need a recipe.
No. I want to do
it.
Listen, you know, variety is the spice of life. So what's the name of the sauce?
Grabiche.
Grabiche. All right, I'm going to write it down.
It's classical French.
We'll see if she can pull it off. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We talk holiday brunches, and Dale's is going to be quite something. Let's hear about yours. If you have a family recipe you break out at the holiday time and... we would love to hear that. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. What are you looking at in there, Donna Frank? She's our chief of staff and is glowering at us here. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. So, what's on the menu for your Easter brunch at Red Lion Inn, Chef Brian Albert?
Well, definitely lamb, definitely ham. So those are the two.
Lamb
and ham. Those are the two big ones. I'm also doing a East Coast sole, and I'm always
what, East Coast.
East Coast.
All right. What's
I try to source all my fish on the East Coast.
Oh, I see. It's from the East Coast. It's not the recipe.
Correct.
I see.
And then always offer a vegetarian. I'm doing a farro risotto, so risotto style, but I use farro as the grain with some different vegetables. Couple other good things. A lot of fresh greens.
We'll talk desserts after the break. Susan in Albany. Susan, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I'm going back to the broccoli.
Mm.
I just wanted to say, if you're going to steam it, or any vegetable, as your chefs well know, the secret is just don't overcook it.
Right.
And, you know, I was out to dinner a couple of years ago, and I was served broccoli, and I was almost sick. It was just so overcooked, and it brought out all those really foul elements of vegetables that come with chemical breakdown.
Okay.
And so that, you know, if you're going to steam, that's a secret.
Right. Well, one of the other things, too, is the florets cook much faster than the stem. Mm. So what you do is you peel the stem and actually make a slit in the stem, and then the florets and the stem will cook at the same time, so you don't have a tough stem.
Right, exactly.
Thanks, Susan. And Maria in Amherst. Maria, you're on.
Yes, hello. Yes, I just wanted to share a recipe. We're Greek, so we have something called Mayaritsa. After the midnight resurrection services, we break our 50-day fast with this. It's basically the entrails of the spring lamb, so the intestines. We cannot get the lung in this country is not allowed or something. But mostly other people put other things. But we put the intestines, the heart, and the lung traditionally. Mm-hmm. Those are all, you know, scalded and washed like 7-8 times until they're ready clean.
Right.
And those are all boiled. And then we do an egg lemon sauce with that, maybe some rice in it, and finish it off with some dill.
Nice.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it does. Love lamb heart.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
Well, Maria.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's very simple, but I can see the theme that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And my mother could do this. I couldn't do it. If you have more entrails and, you know, more innards, then the next day when, if they were roasting, let's say, lamb, or even if they weren't roasting, they would take those entrails and the hearts and everything and then wrap them in the entrails and put them on the split, on a spit, and that's called cocoretti, and that's really to die for. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get it commercially, you can get it in all this in a story in New York tomorrow after the churches are, you know, we have the resurrection service. People mm-hmm. come out with their eggs, and then they go to these restaurants, and they'll have this kind of food.
Mm, that's great.
Well, thank you, Maria, very much. And to the lady who called up and said, don't mention meat, I really apologize. we're really mentioning meat today. And here's a great question, and we'll tackle this one before the next break. Amy from Albany had called in, and I guess we lost her on the line. How to celebrate a holiday, Passover and Easter, together? How do you pull that one off?
You fuse the two holidays. So I would maybe integrate some of the Jewish food into some of the Catholic food.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak to Passover and Easter so much because I haven't done it yet, but at Christmas time, I did matzah ball soup with seven fishes. Mm-hmm. So I matched, I married the Feast of the Seven Fishes with matzah ball as a starch, which was kind of fun. Right. And I got, you know, a lot of people were into that.
Right.
But I think that's a good conscious way to acknowledge
both.
You
can do a potato kugel or kasher varnishkas and integrate that as your starch with something else from the Christian holiday.
It's important because, I mean, think of how many relationships are multicultural
right,
now.
Exactly.
I mean, my wife's Jewish. I'm not, you know. So I think that's a huge, huge, respectful thing to do.
Yep. Let's take a break here. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We talk brunch. We talk cooking with Dale Miller and Brian Allberg. And you, more calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Schenectady Green Market, a community marketplace providing fresh local produce and artisan goods downtown every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside Proctor's, SchenectadyGreenMarket.com. Marbletown True Value Hardware, Stone Ridge, a locally owned independent source offering Loge cast ironware cookware and specialty kitchen items, MarbletownHardware.com. True value, start right, start here. Rare Earth Wine Bar on the Circle, Glens Falls, New York. Specializing in pairing food and wines from around the world, Rare Earth Wine Bar on Facebook. And the Montessori School of the Berkshires, working to foster independence in an experimental learning environment, offering 8 weeks of summer programs for ages 3 through 12. BerkshireMontessori.org.
We started talking about brunch, and now we're mainly talking about entrails and broccoli. And let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Susan in Pittsfield. Susan, you're on.
Hi. Years ago, I worked in a restaurant where we used a lot of broccoli.
Well, there you go.
And we also did a lot of stir fries, and I used to thinly slice the broccoli stems and add them to my stir fries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Nice.
Just another way to do it. Absolutely.
I also used to slice Brussels sprouts in half and stir-fry them, and people didn't have a clue what they were.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what's this good vegetable, people who would never eat Brussels sprouts?
Right. You can even peel the leaves off the Brussels sprouts and just use and just put the leaves in your whatever you're stir-frying as well.
Brussels sprouts get a bad rap in general.
They do. I actually like them.
They're delicious.
Yeah. All right, Susan, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye. Let's go to Marie in Liberty. Hi, Marie.
Hello. I just wanted to mention, I don't want to run this into the ground, the business of broccoli, but I found online, for people who don't particularly like cauliflower, too, cauliflower broccoli bake. Mm-hmm. And basically, I don't want to go through all the ingredients, cauliflower, broccoli, 2 tablespoons of canola oil. You end up making a cheese sauce over the cut-up broccoli and cauliflower mm-hmm. and putting it into the oven, and it's absolutely delicious.
Yes, gratin. Right.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. I don't know what that's called, but you know, for people who don't like cauliflower and broccoli, you know,
put dairy and cheese on it.
Absolutely.
All right.
It tastes better. Yeah. And then I saw another recipe about Brussels sprouts, which involves sautéing after you cook the Brussels sprouts and put them in half and get them too tender. Then you end up stir-frying them in drippings from bacon. Bacon you've already fried, and you've fried the bacon's crisp, and you've cut up the bacon in chunks, and you have that all drained. And
bacon.
Then you put the bacon back in there with the Brussels sprouts already sautéed in the baking drippings, and then you add 2 tablespoons of apple juice mixed in with the bacon and the Brussels sprouts. And this woman said people who always hated Brussels sprouts loved this dish.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
With the bacon and applesauce.
You just take out the Brussels sprouts, you really have something.
Right.
Yeah, it isn't just plain Brussels sprouts. You've got the chips of bacon in there and the apple juice and all together.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Marie, thank you.
Ways to dress these things up. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Chef Dale Miller and Chef Brian Ahlberg. And let's see, who's next? Who's next? Michael in Plainfield. Michael.
Yes, hi. It's Michael from West Plainfield. I just wanted to mention the French baked French toast that you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Yeah.
It's spectacular. My mother makes it. She was born Patty Lapine. She married Ernie LaBranch, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can give that recipe out or just mention it, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It is online, I believe.
It is online. Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, you go to WAMC.org/roundtable, and you'll find it right there. Or is it Food Friday? I don't know. You go to the roundtable page. I'm sorry, the Vox Pop page, and you'll find the Food Friday there.
Yeah.
I've done so many shows today that I don't remember what show I'm on. Thank you, Michael. I know where I am, though. Luke in Del Mar. Luke, you're here.
Yeah, how you doing? I just wanted to add my 2 cents in. I hear everyone talk about grilling veggies.
Yeah.
What we do is we actually cut romaine hearts in half and marinate them real quick in vinaigrette, any type of vinaigrette you like, and grill them until they get nice and wilty, and chop them up, and they're absolutely delicious.
Cooked lettuce? Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we serve that as a salad once in a while.
Or radicchio. Yep. You can do the radicchio as well.
A good hearty bitter green is good.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I've been in contact with cooked lettuce, it has not been a good thing.
Yeah.
So you can actually do this?
It sounds different. Just that char gives it a nice, nice flavor to it.
I'll be darned. Yeah.
And then also, one other thing with using all the parts of the animals, I absolutely love bone marrow.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a thumbs up here. Thanks, Luke. 1-800-348-2551. This is Vox Pop, by the way. Not any other show that you may have heard mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Vox Pop Food Friday. Beth in Niskayuna. Beth.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, this is my first Easter with my family as vegans, and I was wondering about some good main dish vegan ideas.
Great, great question.
The whole family's vegan?
Wait, the whole family is vegan. Yes, it's me and my husband and 5 children. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. That's great. When I cook vegan, I just try to be respectful of grains and greens. And I think that if you, like I mentioned earlier, I'm doing a farro dish, risotto style.
That sounded great.
Yeah,
I'd love more ideas like that.
Mine actually has dairy in it, but the dairy can be left out.
Sure.
But it's bitter greens, garlic, things that have a lot of flavor, and then through the whole grain of the farro, you get the fillingness that you would get from a meat dish.
That sounds great. So something like a farro, and what else? Do you have another idea for me? I have my kids are quite young, so not too many greens, but they're pretty open to others. I mean, to everything else. So too many cooked greens, and they go, but they'll do one good cooked green dish.
I'm thinking maybe like a spaghetti squash would be an awesome dish because. That would be awesome with, sautéed with garlic, and you add just a touch of nutmeg to it too, and it really makes the flavor pop.
Yeah.
And also, portobello mushrooms grilled on the grill. They're very, very unctuous, and they eat almost like a steak. You know, they're delicious.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, we haven't done portobellos for a while. That's good. I like that. That could be something special. So. All right, that's great. Thank you so much.
Beth, you have 5 children, Beth?
I do, yes.
You should be taking a nap right now.
We're going to play at the park.
Good for you.
All right, we're going to take a nap.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks a lot. I have 5 kids, and I'm going to take a nap. Thank you very much. Keith in Schenectady. Keith.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I just wanted to ask the chef if he goes out and picks the dandelions and utilizes them in a salad that's coming up right now at this season. My family's been doing it for years, and in fact, the last week and a half, I've had a salad every night, courtesy of my mother-in-law. And I was wondering if the chef does that, you know, along with fresh leaves.
I think a lot of chefs are doing it right now. I mean, it's, you know, dandelions, ramps, they're all starting to come up, and we're definitely using them in our restaurants.
Fiddleheads will be coming out soon.
Yep.
Sorrel.
Yep.
Used to get cowslips.
Yep. And stinging nettles, and then Japanese knotwood.
Yep.
We do a lot of foraging.
Absolutely.
How do you know what not to eat?
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Pardon me?
When you do foraging, how do you know what's not safe?
Well, I only stick with the things that I know you can eat.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Well, the dandelions, my grandmother used to go up to Thatcher Park because, as she said, there's no dog poop up there. So she would always find a clean field where she wanted to go. But every once in a while, I'd see a lady in a field, you know, bending over at this time, and I know she's picking dandelions, you know.
Yeah.
But you kind of just forage around. You just kind of got to go and look and see that. But, you know, basically for dandelions, I mean, pretty much anywhere, any field.
Wouldn't you be concerned that you may be in a field that has been chemically treated in any way?
That there is that concern, but yeah, that's a good question.
Sorry to make you worried now.
That was a buzzkill.
Apologize.
Well, I would like to think that, you know, usually what I'm finding them is on the edge of fields. Let's say on in parks, up at the campus is a good spot. Down in Washington Park and spots in there, you kind of have to look around and you know, see where they are. But not really, no.
Okay.
You know, I wash them really good. You've got to wash them because there's so much dirt on them anyway. So my wife soaks them in a big tub type thing. And but from what I hear, they're excellent vitamin C. And,
beautiful.
At this time of the year, they're really sweet. My grandfather would take the yellow flowers, of course, make dandelion wine.
Yes,
yeah, sure.
And then as they get older, the vegetable itself, or the leaves themselves, get a little bitter. But my wife puts it in chicken soup.
Nice.
Oh,
that's
perfect.
Great.
Yep. Yep.
Well, thanks a lot, Keith. How is dandelion wine? Is it any good?
It packs a wallop.
Really?
Yeah. We grew up with a lot of Italian neighbors, and they used to make dandelion wine.
Wow.
Yep.
I'll be darned. All right. Over to Mary in Saratoga Springs. Mary, you're on.
Oh, hi, Ray. You were talking about asparagus earlier. I have an old, very old, simple recipe for you if you're interested.
Sure.
Well, have some boiling water in a large skillet. And, prep the asparagus. Put them in for not too long. You don't want them too mushy.
Yep.
Have the oven ready at 400. And you drain them. Wrap them in a slice of prosciutto. Make little bundles of them. About three or four, wrap them in prosciutto, and then you could sprinkle either butter or olive oil, pardon me, lightly, and sprinkle Parmesan cheese and cook them until, the cheese is bubbling, not too long.
Oh, that sounds
amazing.
Can
I steal that? Can I steal that recipe?
I beg your pardon?
Can I take that recipe for the restaurant?
Of course.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's a great recipe.
I'll tell you where it's from. It shows you how old I am. The 1955 issue of Craig Claiborne's New York Times cookbook.
That's awesome. Yep. That's really
cool. Mary, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great Easter.
You too.
Right now, let's go to Chris in Chicopee. Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good. I make barszcz, which is a traditional Polish. It's fermented oatmeal porridge with wild mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. What? Really?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's a process.
Right.
I have a dedicated pitcher, which I do not really wash. I just rinse it out. And I put oatmeal in water and let it sit in a warm place until it sours.
Mm-hmm.
And when it smells right, run it through a food mill. Then mix it with water and lots of chopped garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my mother always added one thing that's not traditional, which is a can of Campbell's cream of mushrooms.
And then you
add reconstituted dried mushrooms. And if they're wild picked, that's the best.
Yeah. I grew up picking wild mushrooms with my mother. And,
My brother usually did, but this year we didn't get them.
Now, we used to have the beet borscht for Easter, and we'd have the mushroom borscht for Vigilia for Christmas Eve. And it was served with, I serve it and I still make it to this day, and I serve it with a dollop of mashed potatoes in the bowl. Do you do that as well?
Just fried potatoes.
Oh, fried
onion.
Potatoes? Yeah, we put mashed.
And at Easter time, you chop the kielbasa, eggs, and ham and put it in, and for Christmas Eve, it's just the plain.
Right, and we used to go to St. Stanislaus Church in Amsterdam with our baskets of food and have it blessed
yes.
by the priest. Ah. And
that's what I'll be doing tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, yes,
yep.
absolutely. Yep.
Well, okay. Just clue me in. How long does it take to ferment oatmeal?
Well, you have to wait till it smells right. It takes about 3 days.
Wow.
Yep.
And when it smells sour, it's just like making a sourdough bread.
See, and my mother used to put, she didn't put the Campbell's cream and mushroom soup in, but she
yeah.
used evaporated milk to finish
the creaminess.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's really delicious.
Chris, thank you very much. Happy Easter. We appreciate
it. Happy Easter to you, too.
Bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551. Dale Miller's here and Brian Allberg. And let's go to Maria in Sheffield. Maria.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I have a favorite recipe to use for asparagus. Which it's new to me, but I love it.
Okay.
I basically shave asparagus with a potato peeler so that it just looks like grass. And then I oil it with some olive oil and salt and pepper. And I put this on top of a pre-baked, which I've baked in the oven for a little while, a whole wheat pizza bottom, and on which I put some very thinly sliced russet potatoes. And again, you oil it, and then you throw that asparagus on. And then about 10 minutes later, you take it out of the oven. It's a very wonderful, fresh side dish off of it's actually vegan, I think. They can use olive oil. But it's very delicious. I don't know if any of you have run across this recipe.
I haven't. Sounds delicious, though.
It does. I've shaved asparagus and put it in pasta.
Yeah,
pasta
and I've shaved it and used it as a bed for a scallop.
Or in risotto
you know,
or
yeah.
something like that as well. So,
yeah.
Maria, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And over to Fran in, where are you calling from, Fran?
Gallatin.
Ah, okay.
Southern Columbia County.
Sure thing. Yeah, you're on.
Anchorbell.
My favorite home brunch is a banana dosa. I found this online years ago. You blend together squished bananas, some flour, a little egg, sugar, maybe some cardamom, a little baking powder, and thin it with milk. Blend it all together. And then kind of like a crepe, only the batter is thicker, so you just pour it in and swirl it around with the back of a spoon. Get it as thin as you can. And cook it till it bubbles up and briefly on the other side. And I fill it with Greek yogurt, and in the winter, blueberry sauce, and in June, fresh strawberry.
Wow. No, sounds delicious.
Great. Really sounds good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks for sharing.
How about, what's the best dessert I should bring? I'm going to my sister-in-law's for Easter brunch. What should I bring?
Carrot cake.
Carrot cake?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yes.
Do I have to make it? Can I buy it?
Only if you buy a good one.
All right, let's go to Valerie in Jeffersonville. Valerie, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about farro.
Yeah.
I make traditionally every year, as my family did, an Italian, what we call a grain pie. And we use wheat berry.
Yeah, very similar.
Okay. I did research a while back to figure out what the difference between a wheat berry and farro was, and there seems to be disagreement about whether there is a difference. Can you shed some light on that?
I can tell you that they eat very similarly.
Okay.
It is a different grain. It's also
also
known as spelt.
Or emmer.
Spelt, right. That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
The farro is also known as emmer. E-M-M-E-R.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. A great Easter dessert is this pie, which has ricotta cheese and citron and rose water, and it's called an Italian wheat pie, so if anyone's interested.
I like it. That sounds great.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. It's a traditional. We also do a traditional, what we refer to as a pizza rustica, which both of them are with a pasta frolla, which is a sweet dough. But the pizza rustica is savory. And it's also a lot of ricotta and mozzarella and sausage and things like that.
Oh,
good stuff.
How could you go wrong? Thank you very much for the call. Let's go over, and this will be the last one. Sue is calling from, I don't know where you're calling from, but you have 45 seconds, Sue. Go ahead.
Oh, from Valation. I was just going to share a memory, hearing all these wonderful tales about Easter. My grandmother, when I was young, used to make cavatelli with a regatta dough for Easter. And my fondest memory is she used to dry it on clean sheets on every bed in the house.
I love those stories.
And the first year I got to try it, after about the first batch, I thought, how in God's name did this old woman
My grandmother used to do the same thing with the she'd make pasta, homemade pasta, and
Well, that's a great way to end the program.
It was a pasta. We called it noodles. So kluski in Polish. So
Well, everybody out there, hope you have a great holiday weekend and hope it's filled with delicious food. Sorry if you didn't make it through today. We are out of time. Thanks to Chef Brian Ahlberg and Chef Dale Miller. Well done, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ray.
And make sure you take WAMC with you. Download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. Just go to iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC and install. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who did a great job today at the controls. Colleen O'Connell took your calls. Our producer and food taster is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Thanks again for being here. Next week, Alan will be here at this time with Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for a news update.